Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday morning, October 29th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that was motivated by realizations that I was having as I was listening to more and more studies and actually interacting with more and more folks, that not only the world around us, but our churches are becoming less and less biblically literate. And you know, what I was noting is there's two basic reasons. I mean, well, there's one basic reason. It's because people are not spending as much time in the Word of God. And there's two basic motivations or two basic things that are subordinate, that are causes. I don't think they're the root cause, but they're causes of, especially nowadays, people having to pick up second and third jobs to keep the roof over their head with the inflation going nuts like it is. And with folks honestly being poor managers at a time. And I definitely fall into the second one, and sometimes maybe the first one, but though I haven't had to pick up a second job yet. I've been fortunate that all my kids are out. I'm only having to help out with my grandchild. And I'm doing okay at this point. We'll see how long that lasts. So I pray for y'all that are having to pick up second and third jobs, and I'm sorry, and where spouses are having to get out of the home. But I know I fall into the second, that I'm not a good manager of time. We as a society spend way too much time streaming, way too much time on hobbies, and not enough time in the Word of God. That's just fact. And I'm not saying it in judgment, because I fall into that. As much time as I do spend in the Word, I don't spend enough. And that's not a trying to act like a martyr. The fact is, I know I don't. And we don't. And so we become more and more biblically illiterate. So my hope was that by giving you this avenue, if you can't seem to find the time to sit down and read, at least you can listen while you're doing something else. I actually, with all the reading I do, I still listen. Squirrel Chatter, Gene Client, the squirrel, does a podcast where he actually reads from the Word of God. He does a public reading of Scripture each morning, as well as talks about a number of things. Some Thursdays he does, and I definitely recommend his podcast. Absolutely. He does Theology Thursdays. He's actually right now going through the 1689 Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, going chapter by chapter, and not only reading through the chapter, but then reading through the biblical proofs for it and discussing it. He's been doing Federalist Fridays, where he's been talking about the Federalist Papers and discussing what they meant. And these Federalist Papers, they're what were around and helped shape our Constitution. So they're good historical things to know. And that's the thing. What you'll find out about Gene is he is a historian. He is a historian, very, very, very intelligent, very bright man, and definitely worth the listen. But he does the reading of the Word of God. He does some reading of prayers from the Common Book of Prayer from Thomas Cranmer. That really, really good, and definitely worth the listen each morning. And I do that on top of my own Bible reading to keep myself in the Word of God. And that's part of what motivated this. And it also got motivated by the fact that I know my spouse deals with this, and there are others that deal with this. With some conditions they have, they can cause at times what's called a brain fog and make people who love to read and love to read the Word of God struggle to be able to sit and read it. And not just the sit, but to be able to actually read it. They struggle with it. And it drives them nuts. And I know, at least in my wife's case, it's been very helpful for her at when those times are happening, that at least she can sit down and listen to the Word of God. And honestly, we usually have it on listening to it as we go to sleep. Actually, in a lot of cases, I don't hear it because I've already fallen asleep, because it drives my wife nuts, but I'm able to lay down and drop off fast. Doesn't mean it's always great sleep, but I, usually able to drop off fast, but last night she was already laying down and I came up and she had the Book of Esther was going on, where, this was at the point how Haman had already gone to the first of the feasts that Esther had set and had been asked to come to the second one where he was going to be accused and, of trying to slaughter all the Jews, which would include Esther. And, he was complaining about the fact that, to his family that Mordecai was just driving him nuts, because he wouldn't bow down to him. And they suggested he build the gallows. So that's where we were in Esther. And I don't remember what chapter that is off the top of my head, but you know, so we do that and that can be very, very helpful. Sometimes we do that, whether we're having a problem with reading or not, to just keep the Word of God going, to keep our minds on the spiritual and not the secular, you know, not the fleshly. So that was kind of what motivated me to do this. So I put together, so what we do each morning is I'm sharing with you part of what was already my morning routine. My morning routine was sitting down and reading through, Prayers Out of Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. It was reading, Spurgeon's morning devotion each morning for whatever the particular day from Spurgeon's morning and evening. It was sitting down and reading through Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan for that day. Honestly, it used to be, because of the way I've got it linked up on my tablet where I would normally read from, it was hooked up to the NASB 95. It was actually hooked up to, the MacArthur Study Bible app, that is on my tablet. Believe me, I've got all kinds of Bible study things on my tablet because I use my tablet along with my phone and along with the laptop I just bought. And I, on my old laptop that I was using, for sermon prep. So I had those hooked up. So it was the NASB 95 is what I was reading from. But so what we do now is we're using, as the intro should have said, I believe it says, is we use the Legacy Standard Bible, which at this point is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts we have of the documentation. So that's kind of what motivated me to get going and to do this, is to share this part of my morning routine with you, to edify both of us, to give us both time. And I didn't want to thank anybody that's listening. I know it's not a lot. The fact is we're closing up on 200 listens. Of course, that's 200 listens over 59 episodes. Of course, I say that and people go, 59 episodes? Wow. No, when you're recording once a day, actually, this is the 60th episode, which sounds like a lot. And for some podcasts, it is. But then a lot of those podcasts are couple hours long and they do them once a week or once every 2 weeks. I'm doing it relatively daily, except for in the first week or so. So, 60 episodes is not that much. And if you think of close to 200 listens, basically I'm getting an average of three to four people listening per episode. So I'm very grateful for them. I would pray that there would be more, not because I want people to know me, but because I want them to know Christ. I want them to be exposed to the prayer and the devotion and the Word of God so that they would come closer to Christ, so that if they're unsaved, they would be, their souls would be prepared for the work of the Holy Spirit within them. That is my sole motivation. It's not about anybody knowing me. The fact is I'm there's nothing to know about me except what is godly. There's nothing that is necessarily or that is important to know about me except that which mirrors Christ. That is the only thing that is important. But so what we're going to do, like I did indicate, I did recently, my wife and I both were able to get hold of very inexpensive refurbished laptops. I was at a point that my old laptop was trudging along, but it was having limitations, and understandably so. And we were able to get these very nicely for under $200 a piece. And that was just wonderful because I wasn't looking for some great super whamadine gaming type whatever system. I don't really game anymore at all. I don't have the time. I'm not willing to waste my time that should be spent on other things. So we were able to get hold of something relatively inexpensive but nice and compact and functional. Actually, I'm recording on the new laptop right now. And it's nice to have the portability and the functionality. The fact is, I don't know that I will ever again buy a full tower, though I've built computers before. And have had many and have had gaming machines and whatever else. I just don't know that I'll ever buy another tower machine. I don't know that I want to put, I want to put the money into it. I'm liking the portability, and I've had laptops before, don't get me wrong. But I've just come to the point in my life, I don't really have the need of the big, big graphics crunching machines and stuff anymore. So these have been very nice. These little refurbished machines, I didn't mind getting refurbished because I know a little bit about how to maintain and how to put new parts in and stuff like that. So we've been very blessed to be able to have that flexibility to do that for ourselves. Of course, my wife got hers because she's going to be our librarian for the new church we're going to. And so she needs to have the ability to be able to catalog and index all the books that are going into the library there that our pastor is trying to build up. And so she's got to have the ability, and she can't tote her desktop computer that's in our bedroom. She can't tote that thing around. She could, but it makes no sense for her to do that when she can do this very simply. So, you know, we've been very fortunate to be able to do that. So we're very, very grateful, especially in this time, in this world. But, so anyway, so we'll see how this does recording wise. Actually, I recorded yesterday on my laptop too, if you didn't know. So actually, I don't think I mentioned it. So I've been very, very blessed, very, very grateful to have that flexibility, so I don't have to use the big work machine that's up in my office. I like to keep things separate like that. I do my personal stuff on one and then leave my work stuff for the other one. I just would prefer to do that. So anyways, and not that you wanted to know all that, but anyways, so I'm doing a bit different. I'm going to be actually, so the links for everything I'm going to be reading this morning are in the show notes, as well as links to the hard copies of Valley of Vision, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the Legacy Standard Bible, as well as a PDF of McShane's Bible reading plan, which also includes his letter to his congregation as to why he created the Bible reading plan and how they should use it. So those are all in the show notes. This will actually be interesting. So I ask for your patience, because I'm not firing up the big normal computer to read off the big screen. Excuse me, need a little liquid there. I'm going to be reading from my tablet. I've got everything set up in the browser for my tablet, so I'm going to need to be switching pages, so we'll see how that goes. But anyways, let's go ahead and get going with our reading. I've now rambled for 12 minutes, and so I'm sure you'd rather me just get into the reading instead of rambling. So we're going to start with our prayers like we do every morning, and of course, we're going to start with resting on God and grace and trials first. So resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious. The thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee. Every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. All right. And grace and trials, if I can get it to pop up. There we go. Grace and trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. All right, and now we've got two more prayers this morning. We're going to do Seventh-day morning prayer, which is God's good pleasure, and then Lord's Day Eve prayer, since tomorrow is the Lord's Day. So Seventh-day morning, which is, like I said, is God's good pleasure is the title for it. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. And Lord's Day Eve prayer. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved in my going out, in my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book which, amidst all my enjoyments, has told me that this is not my rest. That in all successes, one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared? While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, and now our devotion for this morning. Oh, hang on. I forgot. I put it at the different place. There we go. All right. And I want to reload this page. So it will bring up the morning one. There we go. Morning, October 29th devotion. The text for it is Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's the text at the beginning of what people call the Lord's Prayer. I agree with the new pastor we're with, where he actually calls it the disciples' prayer, because it's Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. And no matter how long it's been called the Lord's Prayer, I think the disciples' prayer is actually a better title for it. So just a minute, I'm going to have some coffee here. So again, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This prayer begins where all true prayer must commence, with the spirit of adoption, our Father. There is no acceptable prayer until we can say, I will arise and go unto my Father. This childlike spirit soon perceives the grandeur of the Father in heaven, and ascends to devote adoration. Hallowed be thy name. The child lisping, Abba Father, grows into the cherub crying, Holy, holy, holy. There is but a step from rapturous worship to the glowing missionary spirit, which is a sure outgrowth of filial love and reverent adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Next follows the heartfelt expression of dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. Being further illumined by the Spirit, he discovers that he is not only dependent, but sinful. Hence he entreats for mercy. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And being pardoned, having the righteousness of Christ imputed, and knowing his acceptance with God, he humbly supplicates for holy perseverance. Lead us not into temptation. The man who is really forgiven is anxious not to offend again. The possession of justification leads to an anxious desire of sanctification. Forgive us our debts. This is justification. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is sanctification in its negative and positive forms. As the result of all this, there follows a triumphant ascription of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice that our King reigns in providence and shall reign in grace from the river even to the ends of the earth, and of his dominion there shall be no end. Thus, from a sense of adoption up to fellowship with our reigning Lord, this short model of prayer conducts the soul. Teach us thus to pray. All right. What a good one about the disciples' prayer. Okay, so we're going to do our Bible reading for today. Our chapters are 2 Kings 10, 2 Timothy 1, so we're getting into the second letter from Paul to Timothy, Hosea 2, and we're continuing on in Psalm 119. I think we're starting in verse 97 through verse 120. So 2 Kings 10. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria to the rulers of Jezreel, the elders, and to the guardians of the children of Ahab, saying, So now, when this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, as well as the chariots and horses, and a fortified city, and the weapons, look for the best and fittest of your master's sons, and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they feared exceedingly greatly, and said, Behold, the two kings did not stand before him. How then can we stand? And the one who was over the household, and he who was over the city, the elders and the guardians of the children, sent word to Jehu, saying, We are your servants. All that you say to us, we will do. We will not make any man king. Do what is good in your sight. Then he wrote a letter to them a second time, saying, If you are on my side, and you will listen to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me about this time tomorrow at Jezreel. Now the king's sons, 70 persons, were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. Now it happened that when the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and slaughtered them, 70 persons, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. Then the messenger came and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. So he said, put them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. Now it happened in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, you are righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and killed him. But who struck down all these? Know then that nothing from the word of Yahweh, which Yahweh spoke concerning the house of Ahab, shall fall to the earth. Indeed, Yahweh has done what he spoke by the hand of his servant Elijah. So Yehu struck down all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men, and his acquaintances, and his priests, until there was no survivor remaining for him. Then he arose and came out and went to Samaria. On the way, while he was at Beth Eked of the shepherds, Jehu found the relatives of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are you? And they said, we are the relatives of Ahaziah, and we have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother. Then he said, take them alive. So they took them alive and slaughtered them at the pit of Beth Eked, 42 men, and he left none of them. Then he went from there and found Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he blessed him and said to him, is your heart right as my heart is with your heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. Jehu said, it is, give me your hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. Then he said, come with me and see my zeal for Yahweh. So he made him ride in his chariot. And he came to Samaria and struck down all who were left to Ahab in Samaria, until he had destroyed him according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke to Elijah. Then Jehu gathered all the people and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much. So now summon to me all the prophets of Baal, all his slaves and all his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu did it in cunning, so that he might cause the slaves of Baal to perish. And Jehu said, sanctify a solemn assembly for Baal. And they summoned them. Then Jehu sent throughout Israel, and all the slaves of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was filled from one end to the other. Then he said to the one who was in charge of the wardrobe, bring out garments for all the slaves of Baal. So he brought out garments for them. And Jehu came into the house of Baal with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. And he said to the slaves of Baal, search and see, lest there be here with you any of the slaves of Yahweh, but only the slaves of Baal. Then they came in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had placed for himself 80 men outside, and he had said, the one who permits any of the men whom I cause to come into your hands to escape shall give up his life in exchange. Now it happened that as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guard and to the royal officers, come in, strike them down, let none come out. And they struck them down with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the royal officers threw them out and went to the inner room of the house of Baal. And they brought out the sacred pillars of the house of Baal and burned them. They also broke down the sacred pillar of Baal and broke down the house of Baal and made it a latrine to this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. However, as for the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin, from these Jehu did not depart, even the golden calves that were at Bethel and that were at Dan. And Yahweh said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of Yahweh, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. In those days, Yahweh began to cut off portions from Israel, and Hazael struck them throughout the territory of Israel, from the Jordan to the east toward the sunrise, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites and the Reubenites and the Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the valley of Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, and all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. Jehoahaz, his son, became king in his place. Now the time which Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. All right. And now 2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I unceasingly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, having remembered your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, being reminded of the unhypocritical faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of either the witness about our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been manifested by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hold to the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. In the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of this, that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. All right. And now, Hosea 2. Say to your brothers, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama, contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, and let her remove her harlotry from her face, and her adultery from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked, and set her forth as on the day when she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like dry land, and put her to death with thirst. Also I will have no compassion on her children, because they are children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. So she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them, and she will seek them, but will not find them. Then she will say, I will go, and I will return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. Now she does not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the old, and multiplied her silver and gold for her, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take back my grain at harvest time, and my new wine in its season. I will also deliver my wool and my flax from them, given to cover her nakedness. So now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one will deliver her out of my hand. I will also cease all her joy, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed times, and I will make desolate her vines and fig trees, of which she said, These are my wages, which my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field will devour them. So I will visit the days of the Baals upon her, when she used to offer offerings in smoke to them, and adorn herself with her earrings and jewelry, and go after her lovers so that she forgot me, declares Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. Then I will give her her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it will be in that day, declares Yahweh, that you will call me Ishi and will no longer call me Baali. So I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth so that they will be remembered by their names no more. And in that day, I will cut a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make them lie down in security, and I will betroth you to me forever. Indeed, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know Yahweh. And it will be in that day that I will answer, declares Yahweh. I will answer the heavens, and they will answer the earth, and the earth will answer the grain, the new wine, and the oil, and they will answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. All right. And Psalm 119, as I said, we're starting in verse 97 and we're finishing in verse 120. So, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are mine forever. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I perceive more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your judgments, for you yourselves have taught me. How sweet is your word to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get perception, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I have confirmed to keep your righteous judgments. I am exceedingly afflicted. O Yahweh, revive me according to your word. O be pleased with the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Yahweh, and teach me your judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not wandered from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to do your statutes forever to the end. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your work, that I may live, and do not put me to shame because of my hope. Uphold me that I may be saved, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is a lie. You remove all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh quakes for the dread of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. All right. And that is our reading for the day. Excuse me. Oh, a little coffee here. All right. Well, I will choose not to ramble on here after the reading, since I rambled a good bit first thing this morning. I will pray, and I hope you will too, that this time together is beneficial for all of us. And I hope it helps you. I really do. I hope it helps you. I pray that it will help you. This world is tough. The things that go on in this world are tough, and it's tough for us to go day by day, trying to work our way through this and trying to walk it in a godly manner. So I hope this helps you. I hope this is assistive to you, in that endeavor. So I hope you go out and have yourself a great weekend. I would definitely encourage you, please be in church tonight, tomorrow, whenever you meet. I know some churches meet on Saturday nights, but please be in church. It's not a request from God. It's a command. And unless you are physically incapable, you need to be there. I need to be there. So I tell you that knowing that I need to be there too, and I need to be diligent enough to do so. I've told you before about the Church Finders. Founders Ministry has a Church Finder. You can just go Google Founders Ministry and you can go find their Church Finder. Master Seminary, same thing. They've got one where you can find their graduates and where they're preaching. Go find yourself a solid church if you don't already have one, and get under solid preaching. That is as critical. You cannot do church from home, okay? You cannot stream it and it be the same thing. It's not, and it's never going to be, okay? You've got to be in church. You've got to be with the saints and be worshiping. So I encourage you to do so. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together this morning and allowing us to spend time in your word and in prayer and devotion. As we pray each morning, Lord, we would pray this morning as well that this time would lift us up, would edify us, would equip us, and would hedge up our ways so that as we go out into this world, that we would truly walk as imitators of you, as you tell us in Ephesians 5, and as imitators of Paul, who is an imitator of Christ, as Paul says in one of his other epistles. Lord, we would pray that we would do so that we would be your light in this world, so that we would bring honor to you and glory to you, and that we would be that witness and that light in this world that is in such desperate need of it. Lord, we pray for revival. Our country and this world needs revival. And we pray for it, but we pray for all of these things in your name. We pray for it in your name. And what we mean by that is we pray for your will to be done, whether we understand it or not. The things we're praying for, we would hope that they're in your will. But Lord, we are such flawed humans that we know that there are times we do not understand your will and we do not understand what would be appropriate. So Lord, if what we're praying for is not your will, then your will be done above all else. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. All right. Well, you go out, you have yourself a great weekend. And please be in church. Please be in church this weekend, whether it's tonight or tomorrow. Please be in church this weekend. Be under the sound teaching of the Word of God. All right. I love you. And I hope to see you tomorrow morning, God willing. Be careful. God bless.